Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
The board of directors at the NAACP voted to endorse marriage equality, which is, you know, a historic achievement, and we couldn't be more pleased and proud.
We have to choose our faith over our love for our African-American leaders, and I will tell you now, and I will always tell you, we will choose our faith every single time.
It's almost like we're being punished for the fact that we serve a lot of people and that we don't ask for baptismal certificates at the door.
Lutherans who are married to Catholics love Issues Etc.
The church is one foundation. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I understand that the cultural pressure here is enormous. And it's not going to let up. It's not just the political pressure that even President Barack Obama, who was able to hold out for so long, saying that his view on same-sex marriage was evolving, even he succumbs to the cultural and political pressure there. But it's felt by all of us. And if you find yourself standing in favor of natural marriage and even just holding to the bare notion that homosexuality, what Scripture teaches about it, that what Scripture teaches about it is still true, that it is still a sin like any other sin, you feel that pressure all the more. So I guess I can understand in that sense why there are some evangelicals who are trying to mitigate, I don't know what else to call it, trying to mitigate, modify their view of homosexuality and claiming to have Scripture on their side, some of them. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon. It's the 25th of May. Joe Dallas joins us for the first few minutes. We're going to talk about a move by some Christian leaders toward a vague approach to homosexual behavior. A little bit later, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four soundbites to play for you, and you get to pick which one is going to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week and get a chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. You just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943 when it's time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Or go right now, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote in advance. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joe Dallas is a regular guest. He's program director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California. He's author of several books, including Desires in Conflict and A Strong Delusion. He's also written a recent article for the Christian Research Journal titled When Vague is in Vogue. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Good being with you.
Do these new approaches to homosexuality on the part of some evangelicals, and we'll talk about the details here in a minute, do they represent not just a changing view of homosexuality as a subject, but a changing view of Scripture itself?
Well, the answer is in the question. Yes, you're quite right. In fact, I've often said the changing view of homosexuality, even the changing approach towards homosexuality within the church, is not the problem. It is symptomatic of the problem. We are witnessing a very broad departure from respect for the authority of Scripture and for a rather revised, modified, even watered-down approach to the Bible. And, of course, when you negate the authority of Scripture, then you do open up your worldview for a lot of speculation and a lot of influence coming from secular voices. And I think that's what we're largely seeing in the evangelical church today, and at the risk of sounding like a cranky old man, I'd have to say we are especially witnessing it among young Christians.
So who are some of the people who have tried to formulate a new approach to homosexuality? Who are we talking about?
In the article I wrote for the Christian Research Journal, I reluctantly named three men, and I say reluctantly because I'm really not into calling people out. I'm not into being divisive. But I did feel it necessary to look at the published work and the public statements of three men in particular, Andrew Marin, Chuck Smith Jr. and Tony Campolo. They're not the only ones who are promoting different approaches to homosexuality from the allegedly Christian perspective, but they're three of the most prominent. And so Andrew Marin has enjoyed a good deal of popularity among evangelicals. His book, Love is an Orientation, is very popular. He's appeared on Moody Radio. He's spoken at a number of conservative churches, and he has gained a significant following. Chuck Smith Jr. is the son of my favorite current Bible teacher, Pastor Chuck Smith, who hosts a radio show called The Word for Today. And Chuck Smith Jr., unlike his father, has taken a pro-gay approach towards the Scriptures. And Tony Campolo, I don't think, needs an introduction. He's a very well-known evangelical sociologist and college professor. And his approach towards homosexuality is that it is, in fact, something that is condemned in Scripture, but it is not something that we should break fellowship over. And so if openly homosexual people engaged in homosexual sex are also members of the church, we should all be able to get along in unity and not let that issue divide us.
Okay, so what do you think is driving these various attempts to kind of reinvent the evangelical view of homosexuality?
I am not sure, Todd. There is something that I call nicification that I think is a trend that's been growing within the church over the last at least two decades. And when nicification happens, it basically happens when leaders and laity start assuming that our primary role and responsibility is to be very nice, not to ever give offense, and to always try to appease, even at the expense of objective truth. And so I think that we're seeing a false notion that if we as Christians can make non-Christians feel comfortable with us, if we get them to come to our churches and not feel offended by any of the absolutes we believe, if we get people to like us, we have thereby reached them. And that is, of course, a false definition of what it is to reach people, particularly if you're taking your definition from Scripture.
Now, let's kind of take each one of the men that you mentioned in succession here, beginning with Andrew Marin. What is, because each of them have a slightly different way of trying to skin the cat here. What does Andrew Marin do? What's his approach?
Andrew Marin essentially seems to believe that we should never directly say that homosexuality is a sin. We should never directly say where we stand on the topic. He himself has refused to say whether or not he believes it's a sin, and he claims that his reason for doing that is that he doesn't want people to categorize him. He wants to build bridges rather than underscore differences. And so he simply refuses to make a clear statement as to whether or not it is a sin. And he encourages others to do the same. His in his book, Love is an Orientation especially, it seems that he advises people to try to build bridges with homosexual people, which I think is an excellent goal. He advises showing love and respect to homosexuals, which is also an excellent goal. But then he advises avoiding saying anything that would lead them to believe you think it's a sin, because as soon as you say that, you will have lost them. And I disagree. As someone who personally was involved in homosexuality for about 6 to 7 years as a young adult, and who repented back in 1984, I'm very aware of the fact that I was not reached by people telling me vague statements about sexuality. I was reached by hearing clear black and white truth, and I believe that has always been the case. It always will be.
So Marin adopts the no comment approach. So I mean, you outline how he refuses to answer the question directly.
That is correct. His approach is more to say, hey, let's concentrate on the issues that we can find common ground on. And to an extent, I like that approach. I believe in looking for common ground. But I don't believe in looking for common ground at the expense of speaking necessary truth. And if we look at the particularly the early church in the book of Acts, My goodness, they did not seem to be, and when I say they, I mean Peter and John and Paul, did not seem so concerned about building bridges or about making sure people did not feel put off or about being categorized. They spoke very plain truth. And you know something, Todd? If you were around in those days and you heard Peter's sermon at Pentecost or Paul testifying publicly, you might not have liked what they said. You might not have even agreed with what they said, but good grief, you'd know what they said. They were clear.
Part of the problem with Marin's approach seems to be that it works too well. If we can take this approach to homosexuality, which he seems to want to, then can he really rightly call anything that Scripture calls a sin?
Well, in fairness to him, and I want to say in fairness to him because I do not doubt his sincerity. I do not doubt his good intentions. He does believe in sin. He says that we have all sinned, and in fact, he advises that if somebody says, is homosexuality a sin, we should respond by saying, all of us have sinned. If you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all sins, and Christ came to save sinners, which is all well and good, and it's all true, but it omits the necessity of calling out particular sins, as did Paul when he wrote to the Corinthian church, and he actually rebuked the church for allowing a man to continue in open sin without calling the man on the carpet for the sin.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Joe Dallas of Genesis Counseling. We're talking about a move by some Christian leaders toward a more vague, in some cases even an affirming approach to homosexual behavior. We'll talk about the affirming approach with Chuck Smith Jr. on the other side of the break. He has decided to say, look, I'm not going to take halfway measures here. I'm just going to affirm homosexuality. Joe Dallas will tell us about it. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa. China.
Germany. Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India. Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey. Japan.
Australia. Canada.
United Kingdom. Hong Kong.
Austria. Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines. Mexico.
Spain. New Zealand. Kuwait.
They trying to mash the same-sex marriage into the blood-stained tradition of the black community is horrible.
When we ask ourselves, do we need the Lord's Supper every week? You know, we need to have compassion on our brothers and say, you know, even if I don't want it every week, well, maybe my brother does.
I give to God so that he'll give something to me.
That's essentially idolatry. The exact opposite is the way it happens. Worship starts with God-giving.
This march of history argument bothers me a lot. What they're really saying is, stop thinking, stop using your judgment, just shut up and follow the crowd.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. A little taste of the four soundbites right there you'll be voting for and picking. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about a move by some Christian leaders toward a vague, sometimes an affirming approach to homosexual behavior. Joe Dallas is our guest. He is Program Director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including Desires in Conflict and A Strong Delusion. He's also written an article in the recent Christian Research Journal titled When Vague is in Vogue. And you can find a link to Joe Dallas and his website at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joe, before we leave Andrew Marin behind, we should say, it's one thing, as Marin does, to say, is homosexuality a sin, to simply respond, well, we're all sinners. It's a whole different thing to say, is homosexuality a sin, and to say, yes, it is, but it is a sin like any other sin. Those are two different things, aren't they?
I see nothing wrong in pointing out that the Bible condemns any particular sin, but I feel a responsibility, as you said, Todd, to add the fact that, and indeed, we all fall short. And neither one of those particular points needs to be watered down or apologized for.
So what is Chuck Smith Jr. up to? You say he's not vague, at least not in his position, maybe in his rationale. What do you mean?
Yes, his position is very specific. Now, about 5 years ago, Chuck Smith Jr. wrote a book published by Baker called Frequently Avoided Questions, and in that book, he began questioning whether or not homosexuality should be regarded as a sin. And over the last 6 to 7 years, that questioning has evolved into a very firm answer, which is no, it is not a sin. So he has now gone on record as saying that he believes homosexuality is not something that God condemns, that people can be both openly gay and openly Christian. What is a bit vague is not his position, but how he arrived at it. He said that he got to know some homosexual people who were very wonderful people, and therefore his position evolved. Well, the obvious question is, does the nice character of an individual legitimize all of that individual's behavior? After all, King David was a man after God's own heart. Terrific guy who did a terrible thing with Bathsheba, and then an even more terrible thing, in my opinion, in arranging for the murder of her husband to cover up his adultery with her. And yet, the man was a good man, and the man did a bad thing. So the two can coexist. Chuck Jr.'s approach is, in essence, one that says, if people are people of good character, then perhaps the behavior they're involved in is legitimized by their good character. And that, of course, is a very unbiblical way to approach human behavior.
What does someone like Chuck Smith Jr. do with the passages of Scripture, both old and new, that do speak against homosexual behavior as a sin?
He has not, to my knowledge, gone on record as saying how he interprets those Scriptures. I think it's safe to say he must have reinterpreted them because he does still claim to have a Bible-believing base. So I am assuming he has adopted, Todd, what I call pro-gay theology, which is a pro-homosexual reinterpretation of the Scripture.
And that can take a number of forms, can it? I mean, people will deny that they'll say they're culturally relevant only to their time, or they reflect a bias or something like that. There's all sorts
of... Yeah, it does take several different forms. I wrote a whole book on that a few years back called The Gay Gospel? And in it, I look at pro-gay theology and how pro-gay theologians and indeed pro-gay spokespersons reinterpret particular verses to legitimize homosexuality.
Now, that brings us to Tony Campolo, and he's the one that I probably would say, as you kind of implied earlier, there's no big surprise here that Tony would be taking the position he does. What is it?
His position is, on the one hand, very specific on homosexuality, as opposed to Andrew Marin, who refuses to state whether or not it is a sin, and as opposed to Chuck Smith Jr., who says it is not a sin, Dr. Campolo very plainly says, yes, I believe that homosexual behavior is a violation both of Scripture and of church tradition. He's very clear on that. But he says it is not an issue that should divide us, meaning that he believes people who are practicing homosexuals who also claim to be Christian should be able to remain in communion with other believers. In fact, when the American Baptist Association had a split over homosexuality because some of its churches were ordaining openly homosexual people, Dr. Campolo said that that was very divisive and it was not an essential issue, and so we should remember Jesus' prayer that we all be one. And I believe that his approach, however well-intended, does overlook the need for church discipline. It overlooks the importance of the sexual union as being a type of God's relationship to his people and Christ's relationship to his church, and therefore something that ought never to be tampered with or redefined. And it would place sexual sin in the category of a non-essential difference, sort of like the differences between those who believe the rapture is pre-tribulation versus those who believe it's mid-trib or post-trib. I mean, I can't imagine us breaking fellowship over that. And so he basically minimizes the importance of the issue.
And so in that sense, the vagueness of his approach is not in the position he actually takes. He kind of wants to have his cake and eat it too, but in how he thinks it ought to be implemented, or what he thinks the implications of that view is.
Exactly right, because his approach would leave us wondering, okay, what do we do if we are a Bible-believing church and a male couple comes into the church saying, we have recently been married in one of the states that sanctions same-sex marriage, and we want to become members of your church as a married couple. We are believers in Jesus Christ. It would seem that his approach would be to welcome them as fellow members. Now, Todd, let me make a clear distinction here between church attendance and church membership. I think we should welcome anybody who wants to attend our church, Christian or non-Christian, homosexual, heterosexual, whatever. I think we should be delighted to have people come to our churches and hear the gospel. But when it comes to church membership, then I think we need to insist that people submit their lives to the authority of the Scripture and live their lives in conformity to that.
So how influential do you think these approaches are now or will prove to be in the near future in evangelicalism?
Extremely influential. My gosh, all three of these men have a very large platform. They all have quite a few followers. They all are published by evangelical publishing companies. They all enjoy guest speaking appearances at solidly evangelical churches. Chuck Smith Jr. appears on his father's Christian radio program, Pastor to Pastor, or Pastor's Perspectives, with his father, Chuck Smith Sr. Now, Chuck Smith Sr. does not affirm homosexuality. He holds a solidly biblical viewpoint, but still, his son is welcomed to use the Calvary Chapel Network, in essence, for a platform. Andrew Marin is received in a number of evangelical churches and guest on several solidly Christian radio and television programs. And, of course, Dr. Campolo has a tremendous amount of influence within the church. So these views are gaining a very wide platform and are being very broadly accepted, I'd have to say.
Dale listens and he emails us with a question. He says, is the nicification you spoke of earlier indicative of the fact that the millennial generation does not adhere to the absolute truths that previous generations may have affirmed? About a minute here to respond.
I think he hit it on the head. I think that the millennial generation is not completely, not entirely, but largely rejecting the notion of absolute truth. Now, I can understand how as a non-Christian you could do that, but as a believer, it's a little hard to get away from Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. Objective truth is, I believe, mandatory for any proper understanding of the Christian faith.
Before we go to this break, Joe, I've wondered about this. I have my own thoughts on it, but I'm curious of what you would think. Do you think that with this view, being prominent among many evangelical leaders, and as you say, influential through publishing and through broadcasting and things like that. Do you foresee a day when some of the bright lights of evangelical in terms of congregations, I'm thinking about the Willow Creeks or something like that, maybe not them, but something like them, would adopt one of these modified views of homosexual behavior? About a minute before we have to take a break.
I would be extremely surprised if some or many of them do not adopt this viewpoint, because I'm sad to say I think that there is a trend among evangelicalism towards appeasing people, towards affirming people regardless of the rightness or wrongness of their behavior, and I think that trend opens the door for this very approach.
When we come back after our break, we're going to get Joe Dallas's reaction to a sermon, a piece of a sermon preached by a North Carolina pastor, Charles Worley, suggesting that, and you've heard about it if you've seen it on YouTube, that we take all the gays and the lesbians in the country, we put them behind two different electrified fences, we drop in food, and then we just wait for them, because they cannot reproduce, to die out, as he says. We'll see what Joe Dallas has to say about that on the other side of the break. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Come on in and take your picture with my family in front of the White House. Check out the log cabin where I grew up. Let me know what you think of my campaign commercial. Look at Mary's fancy dress. She's mighty proud of it. Watch the Civil War like you've never seen it. Hunt for some of my treasures. And don't mind the ghosts. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield, Illinois. A great place to hang your hat. Visit presidentlincoln.org. Illinois, mile after magnificent mile.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Less funding reveals lack of results in embryonic stem cell research.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Geron Corporation, which performed the first government-approved test of embryonic stem cell therapy, announced it is abandoning its stem cell program. Pro-lifers view this as good news because such research can only take place by killing a human embryo to use its cells. Geron cited financial reasons for the move. But this highlights the lack of success embryonic research has had in producing cures or helping patients in clinical trials. On the other hand, adult stem cells have been used to treat more than 70 diseases or conditions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
I figured a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there, fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals. And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out. Do you know why? They can't reproduce.
That's an excerpt from a sermon preached Sunday by North Carolina Pastor Charles Worley. That's his particular solution for what he considers to be the problem. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joe Dallas is with us for the next few minutes. Joe, we've just spent the last 30 minutes of radio time affirming that the church ought to speak with a clear voice on the sinfulness of homosexual behavior. How do you react to Pastor Worley's statements that now become a YouTube sensation?
Well, there's a difference between clear and insane, isn't there? You know, all the words run through my head: repulsive, idiotic, irresponsible, carnal, childish, undoctrinal. This was a string of stupid comments from a very foolish man. I mean, if we've got to choose sides, if it's a choice between that guy and Andrew Marin and Chuck Smith Jr. and Campolo, why, sign me up on Chuck Smith Jr. and Campolo and Marin's team. But we don't have to choose between extremes. There is a biblically balanced viewpoint. Look, bottom line here is we are living in a time when outrage sells. If you want to develop a following and make your mark these days, if you're outrageous, no matter how idiotic your statements are, if you're outrageous, you'll develop a following. And I'm angrier at the people in that church who support this man than I am at the man himself. Because the problem, I think, is with the public. We are a people who love to be entertained by buffoons, and so we encourage people to be buffoons.
With about a minute here then, Joe, that balanced approach is, I mean, some would say that Campolo and others are taking the balanced approach. They're trying to balance the pressure of the culture on them with the voice of Scripture. What's the true balanced approach going to sound like with about a minute?
Well, a balanced approach is not an approach that tries to balance secular reasoning with biblical truth. It is an approach that compares Scripture to Scripture. That's where the balance should be. And a biblically balanced approach takes into consideration both grace and truth. It takes into consideration the mandate to speak the truth and the mandate to let our speech be seasoned and gracious and respectful, but still clear. That's the balance I believe God has always called the church to.
Joe Dallas is Program Director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including Desires in Conflict and A Strong Delusion. He's also in the recent Christian Research Journal titled When Vague is in Vogue. Joe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Todd.